So I'd always heard from people who built things that the foundation upon which something is built is probably the most important part of that thing that is built. I'd always heard that. I'd always heard that if you don't lay out the foundation correctly, that no matter what you lay upon the foundation, that it will be weak, the building will not stand, it will not stand the test of time as it ought to. But with a strong foundation, the other things could come around that and the building can last much longer. I'd always heard that, but I got a new respect for it upon moving to Grandview, upon moving to North Texas. In West Texas, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because the climate is drier or the soil itself is different, but stuff doesn't move around as much there as it seems to here in North Texas. We have learned it very quickly. After Cheryl and I moved here, heard commercials on the radio of foundation repairmen, not something we heard a lot in West Texas, and realizing that the ground beneath you moved, and over time, as the weather changed, it could harm the building that was setting upon that ground. We've noticed a couple little things in the house, nothing significant, but we noticed it certainly in the church, which has been here longer, certain things that the ground, the foundation, has done to the building itself. In my office, for instance, the door between my office and Sharon, our secretary's office, it depends on what the weather is like on whether or not that door is going to close. Right? You know what this is like. Many of you have had buildings that have shifted because of foundation issues. Right now, it's not closing correctly, but I know West Texas, or not Texas, weather will change, and so I can count on it closing again soon. That's just part of living in this part of the world. Right? We know how important the idea of a foundation is, a steady, strong, sturdy foundation. It's not just with building, though. A foundation is important in a lot of ways beyond a physical building. What about your physical self? Have you ever had your leg or foot or knee hurt? Maybe you've had gout or something like that. It's a malady that's bothered your feet, or you've had a knee replacement surgery, or you've had a hip problem or something. You know that if your wheels, your legs, your foundation is struggling, that it makes everything else you do more difficult. It makes steps painful. It makes it hard to do the activity that you used to do when you were younger. And when that foundation isn't as strong as it once was, you certainly feel it, and it affects everything else. But beyond that, foundation of our spiritual lives, foundation of our mental lives. Think about your relationships in your lives, whether it's a marriage or a friendship or a relationship between a mother and a child, or vice, or any kind of relationship like that. You know that it's important to know what the relationship is founded upon. If it's founded upon mutual self-interest, like I'm just worried about myself, then you know that's probably not going to last. But if it's founded upon deep, abiding love, you know that regardless of things that might come your direction, that you can make it through those problems. This morning, we're going to think along the lines, and Jesus is going to present to us a teaching along the lines of a strong foundation and how essential it is to our faith lives and the faith life of everybody else around us. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to basically overlap two series, if you will. One, we're going to finish up the series that we've been doing in three parts over the last year or so on the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to finish that up at the end of Matthew chapter 7. And we're also going to begin the series Life on Mission. Adults who went to Sunday school this morning, you studied this idea of being on mission, having a life on mission wherever you are, allowing God to work through you, to use you for the kingdom, to bring people to his kingdom through you. And so we're going to overlap those two series. And the phrase that I want you to keep at the forefront of your mind this morning as we move through this text is this: stand on Jesus or fall. Stand on Jesus or fall. Again, scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Jesus says, as he closes and concludes the Sermon on the Mount, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew. It beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Again, this is the conclusion to the greatest human discourse ever delivered. I've been using that phrase or something like it throughout the last several weeks as we talked about the place of the Sermon on the Mount amongst all other teachings. I believe that nothing is better and nothing equals the kind of teaching that Jesus delivers in the Sermon on the Mount. No speech, no sermon, no discourse has ever come to the level of giving us the kind of life-changing material that the Sermon on the Mount does. No matter if it's a great king or a great president or the best poet ever, nothing can come close to what Jesus delivers in this sermon. And at the end of it, he gives us what every great sermon needs, a challenge to act upon. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is full of those challenges, full of things that you can apply directly into your life, but he leaves us with one final parable, one final story that has a challenge with it. He's told us what living a life through him, or more precisely, him living a life through us looks like, and here's how we can apply that into the way that we live. Jesus speaks along the lines, again, of a parable, talking about a wise man and a foolish man. A wise man builds his house upon the rock. Foolish man builds his house upon the sand, and we know which one falls and which one stands, because storms are coming for both of the houses. Now, Jesus was speaking to a group of people in the Palestinian area, in the area of Jerusalem, that they would have understood exactly what he was talking about. Because the area itself was pretty arid, pretty dry most of the time, but they had rainy seasons during the year, right? Rainy season in particular. And sometimes those rainy seasons were more severe than they were at other times. And it would cause a group of people who were unsuspecting, because they didn't think that a storm was going to come, that it would suddenly come, the wind would come, the waves would come in a flood, and they would beat upon houses, they would beat upon structures, and structures would be lost in the weather of that day. We see the same thing in our own culture today. We see it in flood-prone areas, that there might be a flood come through and destroy all the structures in the way. And then in the next couple years, nobody wants to build in that area. But then after 5, 6, 7 years, maybe a decade, people begin to forget about the flood that happened back then, and they begin building in that location again. And then, of course, in a few years, another storm comes through, floods to near historic levels once again, and leaves people, you know, we've seen the pictures, right? Pictures of helicopters flying over flood-prone areas and people having to leave their homes and everything in them. We know that storms are a part of life. Of every life. I've heard it said before, and it seems true to life, that you're either currently going through a storm, you've just gone through a storm in your life, or you're getting ready to go through a storm in your life. It seems like storms are just part of the human experience. And I'm not talking about weather at this point. I'm talking about storms in our minds and in our hearts and our relationships. At some point in your life, your foundation will be tested at some point in your life. It is a near universal truth that storms will come. Now, they vary in strength, right? Sometimes we're lucky enough to get a scattered shower, and maybe that's the storm that we have. Maybe it's a small setback at work, or we get transferred and we're having to drive a little bit further to get to work in the morning, or we have some minor disagreement with someone in our lives, a relationship that's in our lives, and it's a storm. It's definitely a problem, but something that we can see ourselves working through easily. And then on the flip side, we have the Category 5 hurricanes. We have those storms that just wreak havoc on us and everybody around us. Maybe it's a loss of someone that we love. Maybe it's having to file bankruptcy or losing your home, or maybe it's going through a divorce. Many of you have faced those Category 5 storms that just seem to destroy absolutely everything. And a storm, if it is strong enough, just like real life storms, will strip down everything that we have and leave nothing but a foundation. And that's when we will find out what the foundation really is. Again, you've seen the pictures. Joplin, Missouri, Moore, Oklahoma. Just recently, there's hundreds of towns we can list that have had EF5 tornadoes come in and leave nothing but cement foundations behind. A storm, if it is strong enough, has the capacity to do the same to us. I've faced some storms in my life, nothing close to a Category 5 hurricane. My sister lost her husband, so I've known someone who's gone through with that husband at a very young age. So I know someone who's gone through a Category 5 hurricane, but I've never experienced that myself. I do know that when I've experienced some minor storms in life, or I say minor, they seemed really big at the time. When I've experienced storms in life, that it, in a way it pulls me closer to God. It reveals what is the foundation. Now, I say that, and when I think about that, to be honest, there's a sense of pride that comes up in me that thinks that, well, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to be fine because I'm a perfect little Christian. I must be honest with you, and this is humbling to think about. Some of you have faced Category 5 hurricanes. And I've looked at some of the things that you and many people in our church have been through, and I've wondered to myself, is my foundation strong enough to withstand those gale force winds? Is my foundation strong enough to go through with that? And maybe you're wondering that as well if you've led a blessed life. It's a question that's impossible to answer outside of a storm. Those of you who are in the storm, you know what the answer to your question is because you've gone through it. But for those of us who haven't, it's definitely something to think about. And we can only think about it as a potential. But I hope that in that moment, my foundation, if that moment ever comes, and God forbid that it ever does, but if that moment ever comes, that my foundation is secure enough to where even though everything else might be torn away, the foundation itself will remain. Storms come for believers and non-believers. They come for Christians and they come for infidels. They come for the person who had half the Bible memorized by the time they were 8 years old and the person that's never cracked a Bible open. Storms do not discriminate. You've heard that little cliche, right? That cancer doesn't discriminate. No storm discriminates. It comes for all of us. It's part of living in a fallen world on this side of sin entering the world in Genesis 3. It's part of that. We all live here. We all experience it. There is no place we can go, even within a church building, there is no place that we can go to be completely free of the storms of life. And anybody who would tell you elsewise is saying something that's not in Scripture, because Jesus tells us that we will have trouble in this world. When those storms come, and they will come, what foundation are we built upon? Have you ever noticed that there's no safe place in the United States when it comes to weather? That, like, no matter where you go, Mother Nature is waiting to pounce on you, it seems like. Has anybody ever noticed that? Like, here in Texas and in Oklahoma, Kansas, kind of the middle part of the country, we have Tornado Alley. Not only that, we have August in Texas. Can I get an amen from somebody? And then if you go to the East Coast, you have hurricanes in parts of, you know, Texas itself. It's kind of a microcosm of all of it, and because we have hurricanes in South Texas, and you have hurricanes in the East Coast. If you go north enough, you get into the kind of the blizzard area. And we know some of you maybe have lived through that. You know, we have a couple of inches of snow in the DFW, and everybody freaks out. But imagine having feet that they have in the north and having to deal with being snowed in for weeks. I can't imagine how, you know, nerve-wracking that must be to be stuck at home. No offense, Cheryl, but to be stuck at home for 2 weeks straight, it's got to be just a painful, I got to get out of here kind of feeling. And then you go to the West Coast, and the sky might be nice, but the ground beneath you shakes. That might cause some of you to tremble, you know, literally, I guess. But it would cause me to, figuratively as well. Like, there's no safe place you can go because it seems like Mother Nature is waiting to give you just another version of how it can wreak havoc in your world. Sin does the same thing. When sin entered the world through the choice of Adam and Eve, all of us guilty in that choice, it changed everything. Everything. Even the very weather around us. And there is no place save this, the life that is coming after this one, protected in the presence of Jesus for eternity in heaven. There is no place on this physical earth where we can run away from those storms. They will reveal our foundation. Jesus tells us in this Sermon on the Mount what our foundation is, and surprise, it's Him. It's Jesus Himself. The disciples, a couple of them in Acts chapter 4, they are talking with the Sanhedrin, trying to explain what they're doing and explain the gospel message, and they echo this sentiment of Jesus about Himself in Acts chapter 4, verse 11. They're quoting Psalm 118:22, and they say this, "This Jesus, the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone." The cornerstone, the most important stone in a structure. Jesus Himself is that stone. Jesus Himself is our foundation. Everything else rests on the strength of that foundation. And we will find out what we are really based on when those storms come, and they are coming eventually. At some point, they are coming. Are we founded upon Jesus or upon something else? Because everything rests upon that question. Even the most well-built, beautiful homes will crumble upon a poor foundation. You've known those, right? Somebody had a multi-million dollar home that looked beautiful from the outside, but was crumbling within because of poor construction. But likewise, a house that might not be the prettiest thing in the world, if it is built on a solid foundation, will stand when the storms come. Again, Jesus speaks from experience. He is, after all, the son of a carpenter. He knew about building. He knew about the importance of having a strong foundation. And he shows us what a strong foundation looks like, and it's him. He lays that foundation for us. Jesus says, anyone who hears these words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Anyone who hears these words and does them. Now, don't get this mistaken for you laying the foundation yourself. Jesus himself has laid the foundation. He laid the foundation by what he did upon the cross, by the type of life he lived for 33 or so years. He laid the foundation by giving us the way that we ought to live and the way that he wants to work through us and the kind of ethic that he delivers in the Sermon on the Mount. He lays the foundation. We just get to decide whether or not we're going to act upon it. Whether or not we're going to place our house on this foundation or on some other foundation. We must make a choice to build on him or to build elsewhere. This is where our own obedience and where righteousness comes in. Bible knowledge, accurate theology, having perfect Sunday school attendance, all of this is pointless if they are not accompanied by following Jesus in your actions. By allowing him to be the foundation for the way that you live in the world. Because if we don't do that, if we are standing upon an uneasy foundation, a fall is coming, and great will that fall be. Stand on Jesus or fall. See, here's the thing. Many of us in 2016, Bible Belt part of the country, we know where the foundation is, right? We've read parts of the Bible, if not all of it. We sat in Sunday school classes growing up. We are you don't know how many generations before you were brought up in the church and they passed down that faith to you. This is not true for everybody, obviously, but many of you, this is true. And not even if you haven't, if didn't even grow up in church, you've heard people use Christian lingo around you because it's so pervasive in this part of the world and in our culture these days. You know where the foundation should be. You know the Sunday school answer, and it's true in this case. Jesus is where the foundation should be, but often we choose to build elsewhere. Any of us who, even those of us who know that the most clearly, that Jesus ought to be the foundation, sometimes we start building structures in other places. That's the case in a large swath of the American church today. We trust in money. We trust in the job and the respect that we get from the job that we have. We trust in the family because we have excellent family relationships. We trust in our own effort because we're the type of people that are just going to get it done. Even if I have to work 90 hours a week, I'm going to lay it down so that I can take care of my family forever. I'm going to get this done. We have that sense of I can do anything. I can pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Many of us, and we rely on that and we lay down our foundation on something other than Jesus. How do I know this? I know this by our fruits. I say our because I know I'm guilty of it as well. I know this by our fruits. I know this by the fact that we live lives very different than what is described in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. I know this because most of us, most of the time, find it very difficult to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us. Most of us, if we're really being honest with ourselves, we don't see being angry with our brother as the same as murdering him. We don't see lusting after a woman that is not our wife as the same as committing adultery. We don't see those things, even though Jesus equates them in Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount. We don't live that way because, we know better, right? Like we know how to, we know what we need, and we know what works for us, and the kind of ethic that we need to live. And that's for other people. I'm going to kind of do things my way. Like I know everybody is saying you need to build on Jesus. You need to build on this nice, flat, perfectly level cement foundation. But this over here, this place on the beach, that looks a lot better. Or this place up on this cliff, yeah, it looks perilous, but it has a much prettier view. And I want to build my house there because it makes more sense to do what I want to do. And I'm not talking about sins that you would think are extreme, like being drunk and carousing all the time. I'm talking about just trying to take our life into our own hands, whether it be things that we would consider to be good, chasing after our own job, chasing after our own fortune, whatever it might be, and placing all of our hope and all of our trust in that instead of our hope and our trust in Jesus. Because a storm is going to come, and that beautiful house that sits upon a cliff, it's going to be just like many of those on the West Coast that have happened in the last couple of months. You're going to see the pictures, right? Where it seems like, you know, waves are crashing against the sides of these shorelines, and parts of them are falling away into the ocean, and eventually the structure will fall, and great will be its fall. If you've ever seen a house slide into the ocean, you understand what Jesus is talking about. Great will be its fall. Those storms are coming. Are you built on your own laurels? Are you built on your own relationships? Are you built on your own bank accounts? Or are you built solely upon the person of Jesus Christ, what he did upon the cross, and the kind of life that he asked us to live in the Sermon on the Mount? Stand on Jesus or fall. Jesus says, the one who hears these words and does them, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Many of us hear those words and do something else. And according to the scripture, we are foolish in that moment, building our houses on sands, on sand. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we learned what the life lived in Jesus looks like. And he invites us here in this conclusion to do those things, to do and say unto others as we would have them do and say unto us. And so this morning, I want to talk a couple of different ways to apply this truth. Number one, are you struggling through a storm? Or have you just struggled through a storm? You're finding some true thing. You're finding out the truth about your foundation, about where you're founded. And even though the storm is a terrible thing that I don't believe God wants, like wishes on anybody, I think it's also something he can use. He can use to show you what's really going on in your heart, where your foundation really is, so that when the next storm comes, you might be better prepared by having your foundation solely upon Jesus. Is that where your hope lies, or does it lie somewhere else? If there's anybody here in the room this morning that has the desire placed there, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, to have your foundation, your address changed to the person of Jesus Christ, to believe in him for the first time as Lord and Savior, I would love to lead you in that direction during our time of invitation or after the service. I'll be down here if you want to think about that, if you want to come pray about that. But also, a second point that I want all of you to hear, especially all of you Christians, people who follow Jesus. What would you do if you knew a gigantic tornado was bearing down on Grandview, Texas? And maybe all communications are knocked out in our community. Nobody can pull out their phone and look on the radar like we can these days. Television, radio, all of that stuff is out. Even the storm horns. Storm horns are broke here in town, and we know they're not going to go off. And you're the only person that knows that a storm is bearing down on the 1,300 people that live inside the city limits of Grandview, Texas. What would you do? Now, it seems like an easy question, right? I tell people. I would go from door to door telling everybody, hey, here's what's going on. You need to hide. You need to do something. You need to prepare because there's a storm coming. It sounds like the reasonable answer. But here's what happens for many of us Christians. And again, if we're being honest, and I'm going to be honest with you as well because I find myself in this lot more often than I would like to admit. Here's what happens with us Christians. We know that a storm is coming. We know that a storm is coming. We've read the end of the book. We know that eventually every foundation will be tested. We know that that's going to happen. We have that news. We are one of the sole, for many people in this world, we are one of the sole means by which God might choose to communicate. You ever heard somebody say, you're the only Bible that some people are going to read? There's a lot of truth in that cliche. God wants you to be that messenger that a storm is coming. But what do? A lot of times we go hide in the cellar, don't we? Because that's where it's safe for us. We know that if we hide in the cellar, everything's going to be fine. Sure, everybody out there, I don't know how they're going to do, but I know that I'm going to be fine. We would never say that. We would never say that's the right decision, but what do our actions say about us? when a storm is coming. This is essentially what 2016 Christianity in the United States of America has become, and for it we ought to mourn. For it we ought to as they did in the Old Testament, tear our loincloths and put ashes on our head and just rebuke and mourn over everything that is happening. Because a storm is coming, and for some the storm is right now. And people are in the midst of it, and they don't have a solid foundation. They're sitting on that perilous cliff, and the waves are beating against their foundation, while the church is where? In the building. Hiding at home. In the holy huddle. We have the warning that people need to hear, and what do? We study about the warning. We learn the warning. We commit the warning to memory. But do we actually give it to others? If this is something that makes you feel guilty, it's not what I all intend. But it is something that ought to convict us to move and to share and to be on mission everywhere that we are. At work, at home, at school, probably, not probably, even within this very room, there are people near you who are going through a storm. And they are finding out that the foundation beneath them is crumbling. They need somebody to give them Jesus. Will you be that person? Or will you hide in the cellar until the storm passes? So there are your two ways to act, your two challenges. If you want to be protected in the midst of a storm and you're not sure your foundation is in the right place, I would love to pray for you and lead you to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I can do that with you right now, here in front during the invitation, or I can do that after the service. I'll be around somewhere. Come and find me. We'll go into our prayer room and we'll pray together. And for those of you who do have Jesus, who are on the solid foundation, are you showing other people how to build similar structures so that they can be safe when the storm comes? If you need to pray about that, this altar is open. I hope that we become a church that devotes ourselves to reaching the lost right here around us, because there's plenty in Grandview. There's plenty in Johnson County. There's a ton in DFW. We know that they're here. And I hope that we can become the kind of people who reach them, dedicating ourselves to prayer. You have an opportunity to pray at the altar, to pray where you are, to pray with me. Again, if you need Jesus, I can direct you to him. If you have Jesus, it's time to tell other people. Allow God to move through you in prayer. Move in whatever way God is calling. Let's stand together.